हरे
फॉर हिज
कृष्णा।
क्लास गिवन बाय हिज ग्रेस शमिक ऋषि प्रभु जी। सो प्रभु जी यू कैन टेक ओवर।
थैंक यू एंड थैंक यू फॉर गिविंग मी अपॉर्चुनिटी फॉर दिस जब कॉन्फ्रेंस इन श्रीमद् भागवतम रीडिंग। प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णापृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरव भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो विल बी रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर नंबर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 2, 3 एंड 4। सो द टेक्स्ट गोस टेक्स्ट नंबर 2। यदाभिषिक्तो दक्षस्तु ब्रह्मणा परमेष्ठिना प्रजापतीनां सर्वेषां आधिपत्ये स्मयो भवत्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When Lord Brahma appointed Daksha, the chief of all the Prajapatis, the progenitor of population, Daksha became very much puffed up. Purport. Although he was envious and was inimical towards Lord Shiva, Daksha was appointed the chief of all Prajapatis. That was the cause of his excessive pride. When a man becomes too proud of his material possessions, he can perform any disastrous act. And therefore, Daksha acted out of false prestige. That is described in this chapter. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnamamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadut परिजन सहित कृष्ण चैतन्य देव श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वित। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय। नमो महावदानाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरतुषे नमः। So, this is how the Daksha, this chapter, it is talk between Sati and Lord Shiva and Sati. So, just the one verse has been happened. So, that is, there was tension between Daksha and Lord Shiva that continued. So, Daksha Prajapati is a son of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva is also son of Brahma in one way. And so, Daksha's wife was daughter of Swayambhu Manu, Prasuti was the wife, and this Sati was the youngest daughter, that was Lord Shiva's wife. So 1000 years ago, before this talks happened, there was Daksha, there was a large sacrifice and Lord Shiva did not stand up. So Daksha Prajapati was cursing, and then there was counter curse by Nandishwar. And later on, after 1000 years, the sacrifice continued. Then he arranged another sacrifice. And this another sacrifice, he did not invite Lord Shiva, neither his daughter. Although the demigods are necessary, that we should please them, and by their acceptance, and also Lord is also becomes pleased, because these are appointed officers and directors of the Lord, all the demigods. They do their function. But somehow he neglected to do that. So tension was building up more and more. So Daksha became proud of his being the chief Prajapati. Because he was appointed the chief by Lord Brahma, that now you are the chief. Prajapati means progenitors, and they produce so many children, because in the beginning of creation, during the time of Swayambhu Manu, the whole universes were empty, and that place has to be filled up by Brahma. It was a great task. So you produce initially from his mind and different parts of his body. Then still Lord, four Kumaras did not got married. Then Narad Muni also did not got married, did not wanted to produce children. They remained nestic brahmacharis. So he prayed to the Lord, and because of his prayer, then there was this progenition was not just from Brahma, but also he produced from his right side of the body. That was right side of the body was Swayambhu Manu, and left side was the Satrupa. They both got married. So Maithuni progenition, that is, starts from Swayambhu Manu. That way, there is Lord has created some pleasure in that. In the Maithun, but that is to be used for progenation or for creating children, not for sense gratification. So it is being misused, and that's why there is so much problems, and people remain in the material world, they remain in the Maithunagar or the prison house made by this Maithun business. So Daksha in this particular world, so Daksha becomes proud of his being the chief Prajapati. Means whenever a lower mentality person is given a big post, they become puffed up. And they neglect other people. And they neglect, and that's why that if you want to serve Tranadapi Suni Chena, Taro Iva Saishnona, that if you want to continue, then there should not be puffed up position. We should tolerate everything and give respect to others, and should not look for respect from others. So that should be the mentality if you want to chant. And then I will read 3 and 4th verses also, so it gives us more story about what is happening. So in this 3rd and 4th verse, Daksha starts as sacrifice, but he is neglecting Shiva, and many others are attending and coming in their aeroplanes. And Parvati is seeing all that. Sati, not Parvati, is seeing that all other demigods and their wives are decorating and they are coming. And this decoration is also necessary in the presence of the husband. A woman should get decorated. She should show nicely. Or any sacrifices or any big ceremonies, both man and woman should decorate, because that is celebration for the Lord, like whether it is Janmashtami or Diwali to welcome the Lord Ramchandra. And so people put new clothing and ornaments, and so that is as a respect to the Supreme Lord, whose celebration that we are celebrating. We decorate the temple, decorate the deities, that's a showing our respect for the Supreme Person. So the 3rd verse is Twas Vajpayena ब्रह्मस्थान अभिभूय च बृहस्पति सवम नाम समारेभे कृतोत्तमम. दक्ष बिगेन सैक्रिफाइस नेम्ड वाजपेयी, एंड ही बिकेम एक्सेसिवली कॉन्फिडेंट ऑफ हिज सपोर्ट बाय लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा. ही देन परफॉर्म्ड अनादर ग्रेट सैक्रिफाइस नेम्ड बृहस्पति सव. So that is the name. So previous 1,000 year, it was Vajpayee sacrifice, and then he started Brahaspati Sava sacrifice. These are the different names, and there is different methods, and it is very, very difficult to do. There used to be Ashwamedh Yajna or Gaumedha Yajna. So there are many kinds of yajnas were there, like Lord Ramchandra performed 1,000 Ashwamedh Yajnas, or Prathu Maharaj performed 99 Ashwamedh Yajna, and for 100th sacrifice, the Ashwa, the horse, was taken by Indra. So Indra, one can become a Indra if he performs 100 Ashwamedh Yajna. So there is different methods, different Brahmanas, different mantras for all these different yajnas. And in Vedas, particularly Yajurved, these are all verses, and how to sacrifice, perform, these are all given. So purport by Srila Prabhupada of the 3rd verse, in the Vedas it is prescribed that before performing a Brahaspati Sava sacrifice, one should perform the sacrifice named Vajpayee. while performing these sacrifices, however, Daksha neglected great devotees like Lord Shiva. According to the Vedic scripture, the demigods are eligible to participate in the yajnas and share the oblations, but Daksha wanted to avoid them. All sacrifices are intended to pacify Lord Vishnu, but Lord Vishnu includes all his devotees. Brahmash, Lord Shiva and other demigods are all obedient servants of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is never satisfied without them. So, naturally, like when we invite a family member, means his wife, his parents, his children, they all come. Same thing when you perform a sacrifice to please the Lord by putting different ingredients in the fire, then it is like feeding the when we feed the Agni or fire god, then Lord Vishnu is satisfied. But along with Lord Vishnu, you have to satisfy his devotees, means like all the demigods are his devotees. They have done something good, although they may be sakam devotees, but they also have to be invited. That is the purpose. But he neglected to do that. Means his yajna cannot be successful. If some performs with this kind of envious mentality, then one cannot advance further, and either Lord Vishnu would be pleased. So Lord Vishnu is never satisfied without them. So Daksha, being puffed up with his power, wanted to deprive Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva participation in the sacrifice. He did not even invite Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. Understanding that if one satisfies Vishnu, it is not necessary to satisfy his followers. But that is a wrong mentality. Means Bhakta, the devotees, Bhagwan, the Krishna or Bhagwanta, Guru, Bhakta, Bhakti, even the process of Bhakti cannot be complete without worshipping the devotees, Guru and Krishna, that all has to be together. So that is the process, not the otherwise. So Vishnu wants his followers to be satisfied first. Lord Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika. The worship of my devotee is better than worship of me. Similarly, in the Shiva Puran, it is stated that the best mode of worship is to offer oblations to Vishnu. But better than that is to worship the devotee of Krishna. Thus, Daksha's determination to neglect Lord Shiva in the sacrifice was not befitting. Aradhana nam sarvesham, Vishnu aradhanam param. So Lord Shiva is telling to his wife that Vishnu aradhana is topmost, but iti parataram devi tadiya nam samacharit. But higher than that is to worship his devotees. Tadiyanam, one who follow the Vishnu, or who are devotees of the Lord Krishna, they should be worshipped first. Then you worship. That's why when we offer to Krishna, we offer first to our Guru, and then in the parampara, and ultimately it goes to Krishna. But not directly, we are not qualified to do our devotional service to the Supreme Lord directly, but it should be done through the media of devotees. So how to please, and Sati did not listen to Sati approaches Lord Shiva, and Sati says that many are going and I long to see my relatives, and it is your father-in-law's event, so there is no harm in going to uninvited, because he is my father. You could go to the family's house uninvited, there is no problem. And my sisters would be there, and I would like to meet my mother. So she goes, and she does see that Lord Shiva is not respected, not given a seat in the sacrifice. She becomes angry. So little bit, Daksha is doing a Vaishnava Aparad. What is Vaishnava Aparad? Then we will talk little bit about that. And by doing this, we upper means distance. Rad, like, so we become more distant from Srimati Radharani if we do this aparad. In six kinds of aparad, so there is a aparad for the chanting of the holy name. There is aparad also for Vaishnava. So to beating a Vaishnava is aparad. to blaspheming Vaishnava is a aparad, to become envious, like Daksha became envious of Lord Shiva, that is aparad, not to respect them, another, that is also aparad, or to become very angry on a Vaishnava. And sixth is that when they come, one should become happy, should show happiness, should show a smile, should respect them by giving a seat, water, sweet words. And if you don't do that, if you don't respect them, that is also a aparad. Even he is not looking for that. I mean, if there is some senior person, one should stand up, pay obeisances, pay respect, show happiness and do some service to him. So these are the, if you don't do that, then that is a Vaishnava aparad, and this Daksha Prajapati was a Vaishnava aparadi. Now question may be asked, that Sati is a chaste lady, why she neglected not to take the instruction from her husband? She knew that he is the greatest among the Vaishnavas and she used to serve, but she left. This is because of the family affection, that that when you become too much attached to the family, then you neglect your basic principles of Krishna consciousness. And so we'll read about, there are in this heart and soul connection, I just came across that there were 12 principles that one should follow. And if then there's married life is successful. So because of, we are talking about Sati and Lord Shiva and how she neglected Lord Shiva's advice not to go, and so how to do, how to in family life. And anyway, those are leelas for Sati and Shiva, is not we could apply in the material world, because Sati made the form of Sita Devi and Lord Shiva rejected in his mind. So there was this opportunity at this time that Sati gives her life and then she comes back again. Just like Brahmaji also gave up her body, his body, many times, not just one time. One time when he went behind his own daughter, who was very beautiful, Saraswati, and then when he knew, or when his own children were blaspheming him, particularly Marichi's six sons, so they are the ones who came. Shatgarbhas became demon because of blaspheming without knowing behind. Our great personality should never be blasphemed, like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, whatever they may do. Like people don't blaspheme Lord Shiva for going behind Mohini Murthy. That's at Krishna's pastime or Leela, that one can get, the greatest personality can fall down. So it is better that one should be very, very careful, how careful we should be. But that's what Krishna, he was defeated by Krishna. And there is no defect. So same thing in anything, we have to see the great cause behind that, knowing the whole aspect and learning from thoroughly from Shastra and Guru and Vaishnavas, rather than concocting our own way. So grihastha life, which is majority of the people have to go, people think that we could renounce if we could remain brahmachari, but it is not possible in the current age to remain as brahmachari or sannyasi or vanprastha. So that is a main ashram that people could go, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's many, many followers were also grihastha, and they advanced further. So how they should behave with each other and how they both could advance, like the two tracks of the train, how they could advance. So in married life, the grihastha's purpose is to live in a spiritual ashram, where there is opportunity for a spiritual advancement. And also at the same time, they support the grihastha ashram, is the one who supports or who they support the sannyasis, brahmacharis, vanprasthis. If there is no householders, then where from the saintly persons will come? Even the demigods are waiting in line to take birth in the families. So they will not drop from the sky. So naturally, grihastha life is needed. All the great personalities came because of the grihastha life was there. So 12 principles in grihastha life. So if we follow them, then one can create a joyful, peaceful, spiritual environment for the family, community, and for whole country if that has been taken seriously by everybody. So there are certain Krishna conscious principles and values of family life. So, and that's what I would be talking about mostly. So 12 principles for successful Krishna conscious family life. So Lord Krishna, the whole thing, these principles are based around or centered around Krishna. The 12 principles for successful Krishna conscious family life is effectively that we should put Krishna in the center of our grihastha life. Otherwise they are grahamedis. The Krishna becomes the basis for life, action, growth. And that is the guiding ideal, but a foundation for practical action and experience is to put Krishna in the center. So if we embrace this principle, then with joy and spiritual enthusiasm, so it will result in happy, healthy family life and will serve as a guiding principle for the society at large, because the examples are needed. Example is better than a precept. One may be give many advice, but if nobody follows or nobody sees the practical example, then it is hard for the people to take it up. So one thing that we, first thing that we align with Srila Prabhupada. So we have to follow the teachings and examples of Srila Prabhupada. So that is the first thing. Because according to Srila Prabhupada, he took into the Western values of gender equality. There is always a diversity in maintaining, it should be also unity for the universal truths of Krishna consciousness. We are united in our practice of Krishna consciousness, but there is diverse in languages, cultures, gender roles, ethnic background, and Srila Prabhupada encouraged disciples to use their intelligence to apply the spiritual principles. The spiritual principles remain the same, but it could be practiced in a diverse way as the situation comes. So we have to use our intelligence, modify them, but the central point should not be lost. It should remain the same. So that is the first principle, that we have to align with Srila Prabhupada's advices, what Srila Prabhupada has given to us in his teachings. One should not care, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, one should not care very much whether he is going to the liberated or not, but he should simply execute the order received from this spiritual master. If one sticks to the principle of abiding by the order of the spiritual master, then he will remain in a liberated position. The second principle is spiritual growth and progress. Grihastha ashram, that is a place of personal growth. Family life and home itself should be an ashram, a place of spiritual culture and practice. Grihastha life affords the opportunity for personal growth in many ways, spiritual, emotional, economic, social, and one has to support other ashrams, as we discussed. Financially, one should be independent. Because other ashrams are dependent on grihastha life. So it is ashram. Ashram means it is education for responsibility, charity, maturity. So this is the, and gradually there should be renunciation in the grihastha life. But it should not be forced renunciation. It should be gradually, not artificially. Because if we don't renounce in our mind, but we dwell inside, and outwardly we try to renounce, then that will not lead to a spiritual advancement. There would be a fall and one will fall down. What previously it was called, he got blooped. So anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, this is Prabhupada, he is first class, that is all. Our principle should be how to make people Krishna conscious, God conscious. Then our mission will be successful. As grihastha, vanprastha, sannyasi, it doesn't matter. Philosophy, the truth should be preached. Everyone will be happy. That is Krishna consciousness. It is not that only sannyasis, brahmacharis or can reach Krishna, but a grihastha, a householder can also reach Krishna, provided he becomes a pure devotee without material desires. So that is the second principle of successful married life, but spiritually equality, but there is a material difference. Difference between man and woman, everybody knows that bodily there are differences, psychologically there is differences. So we have to understand the concept of time, place and circumstances. So Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, a clear conception module that is there according to the different levels of the of different circumstances, different time, different place, and woman's place in the work of force and normative family roles are gradually, it is so much nowadays, it is not that we are following 50 years or 100 years ago what the Vedic culture showed. So basic principle remain the same, but according to time, place and circumstances, we have to adapt the situation. Our cultural norms and expectation and identities and length of time in devotional service may influence different things. So we have to integrate in our these identities, spiritual, we have to integrate in our material life. Our spiritual identities ultimately is most important, but it is essential in spiritual life to cultivate understanding at material level as well. So understanding the present body at the present time, we have to work with the material body and our material circumstances to cultivate spiritual consciousness. A marriage partner can be a great support in this regard. Spiritual equality in marriage, that both are equal in marriage and they should assist each other in their devotional services. Because service to a devotee, so that it starts at home, that we serve the other partner, the highest service and most pleasing to Lord is to support our spouse in devotional life. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, many quotations are there, to be either a woman or man only involves one's bodily dress. The soul is naturally and that is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. So soul is the that is different. The bodily identity is not important. Both are equal in that way because both are a spirit soul. The fourth principle is positive and realistic vision, that we should be positive. We should not feel, oh, I am just a man, or I am just a woman, or what I can do, I am fallen. We should have because of so much divorce and broken families. So I, me, mine, that is what is causing all this. But we should not say, I, me and mine, it is all ours and we are all servant of the Lord. So our attitude should be right. We have to know, acknowledge and cultivate a strong and healthy spiritual marriage. Ongoing process to recognize that there will be challenges. So there should be realistic expectation of our partner. Means all the women or men cannot be Arjuna or like a Draupadi or so we should really feel that yes, there would be differences, and so negative influence on household life should be stopped or we should avoid. I am falling to the deep dark well of household life because I am such a bad fallen devotee and cannot control my senses. No, one should try his best, but if you feel negative impression that it is a deep dark well, then how you will remain together and practice Krishna consciousness? So it is a spiritual path that is recommended by Sadhu Shastra Guru, and that is ashram, and so we should follow that. So it will, and we it, this will, this positive thought will give us enthusiasm, and we will learn, grow and progress in this ashram. So, and we should evaluate also time to time before the marriage that whether it would be compatible, how it should be, both has to be Krishna conscious. So, and then there is an extended family that provides wisdom and support. So elders in the grihastha life, it is important now. The elders are thrown out into nursing home or vriddhashram places, which is not really right. They need support and they could give so much from their years of experience to the family life. and for Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada had a realistic vision. So Grahastha, they become sometimes distressed. The Grahastha ashram means unless there is Krishna. Ashram means there has to be Krishna or full Krishna consciousness. It is simply miserable, dukkhalayam. So that was the fourth principle, that we have to have a positive attitude and realistic vision. Then fifth principle of Grahastha ashram is mutual respect and appreciation. That appreciating very little things, that we should be to our spouses whenever possible, and mutual protection for Grahastha. Sense of mutual protection. Material world is a dangerous place and spiritual life is not easy. So protection and support in all facets of one's life are valuable assets of Grahastha life. So Srila Prabhupada said many things on this topic. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. We should not praise our service, I did this, but if somebody else is doing, even the spouse, you praise it, then that will give them more enthusiasm and encouragement. The sixth principle is commitment and dedication. So it should be genuine love, not just romantic love. Like not just what you once see in the movies and outside world, but it should be genuine love to each other, and we should get help from each other in difficult times. And so husband and wife used to live together peacefully throughout their whole life. Wife and husband once combined, that is for life. There is no question of separation in all circumstances, either in distress or in happiness. There is no question of separation. So that is commitment and dedication should be there, and open and honest communication. One should not just tell lie. There for harmony in the family life, there should be open and honest communication. That is the key for peaceful, happy marriage. This is skill for open and honest communication that should be learned and should be practiced. Effective communication is a skill that can be learned and practiced. Many marriages have greatly benefited when the people has taken time to develop these skills with the help of qualified, even there may be need of counselor or educators, marriage educators. So one should get a help if there is a problem. Then eighth principle is personal and social responsibility. We are Grahastha ashram or anybody, we are all servant of the society and ultimately to Krishna. So we have duty to our temples, to our ashrams, to our society. And so householders are examples to the greater society. So Grahasthas, by their good work and moral and spiritual lifestyle, can become an example for the wider society to follow. And they should demonstrate integrity, responsibility. So these all things have to be adopted. And so we should take every opportunity in Grahastha, whatever opportunity is there, like holding bhakti vrikshas at the home, inviting devotees, preaching them, inviting some sannyasis, or they come, inviting them to the house. So those are also the duties of the Grahastha life. So one can become a mature and study in spiritual life and give example to the others. So we should remove these negative emotions, and there may be some pitfalls or low esteem and discouragement and feeling of failure, but it should be avoided with mutual understanding, inviting others and learning from them. So it is an ashram where the devotee can truly express himself or herself in spiritual, material and professional life while making great advancement in Krishna consciousness by dovetailing all aspects of life in Krishna service. And the ninth principle is economic development and prosperity. We should not that Grahastha, you don't have to live in poverty, or if there is any poverty, so one should not be, one should live happily, means Grahastha life should not be an ashram of poverty and great material austerity. Poverty as well as overindulgence can be an impediment to the spiritual life. So there should be a balance If you could earn more, then use it for Krishna. But by nice means, not earning by some wrong means. That is not Krishna conscious way. It should be morally, ethically, spiritually, it should be a correct way. If by chance or by grace of the Lord more money comes, it should be properly engaged for Krishna's consciousness movement. One should not be eager to earn more money simply for sense pleasure. It should be used for Krishna's pleasure. So 10th principle is focus on children's welfare. Srila Prabhupada, that children should be first priority for the grahasthas. Even sometime Prabhupada even said so much that even if you cannot chant, that is the only one incidence for any life, that and your child is sick and you have to take care, then do that. That is your first priority, rather than neglect your children. And so parenting skills should be learned, and community responsibility is also there for all the children. So whole community should support the children. Children should live with other children. That way they could grow and learn from each other. And that is a very fast way. Now in nuclear family, children never see another children, except when they go to some school or something. But again they live, and the growth is impeded in that way. So there should be like Sunday schools, but every day there should be some meeting with other children, and families can take that role. Different families, different days. So there should be family love and affection. That is a natural way, a parent loving his child. That's very, very natural. One should not feel that he is too much attached to the children. That it should be in a very, very natural way. And extended family can help in that, and community. So that is a vital role of the community. And each should respect others' children. So there should be family love and affection. And the last principle is a regulated, balanced and exemplary lifestyle. There should be a strong sadhana, regulation, simple living, high thinking. And we should be steady in the face of even, there may be difficulties that has to be ashram. There is difficulty in the material life, but it should be taken lightly, in the sense that yes, this is material world, things would come, things would go, pain, suffering, everything, poverty, not having enough, all these things, children, problem with the children's family, but community can support each other, and that way both could grow a healthy spiritual life. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the Bhakti Yoga system. One must find some time for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, that is Vedic culture. One should work 8 hours at the most to earn his livelihood, and either in the afternoon or in the evening, his householder should associate with devotees to hear about the incarnations of Krishna and his activities, and be gradually liberated from clutches of Maya. So these are the special principles. The more you keep these principles and values in mind as you read through the chapters of this book, the more you will benefit. We sincerely hope that by putting this and practice this 12 principles and their application as presented, then the family life will truly become an integral support for the spiritual growth. So this topic, like I talked, because of the somewhat there was dissension between sati and what was her role, but that was spiritual. We should not take it, these principles of the personalities like Lord Shiva or even Pandavas or Draupadi, or why this happened, we should not take why this happened, why Sita Devi was like she was banished by Lord Ramchandra, and there are a special purpose, and we have to understand those through Sadhu Shastra and Guru, and not just thinking in our own way. So thank you so much. I will end here. If there is any questions or comments, we can discuss. These are exemplified by many devotees of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These principles, they all adopted this, that how they lived and what they did and how there was a proper growth of whole community and because of proper Grahastha vision. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Then the program also very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Tell the principles of Grahastha one more time, like that, read fast, Prabhuji, because in between I missed some of them. You said 12 principles, right?
What is that?
The principles of Grihastha life.
Right, there are 12 principles. Okay. If you want, I can narrate them again, those principles, if you would like to.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, 12 principles for successful Krishna conscious family life. The first one is aligned with Srila Prabhupada. Means according to time, place and circumstances, what Prabhupada taught, we should take that seriously. There is a spiritual growth and progress that Krishna should be in the center of any ashram or any family life. It's not that you eat, drink and be happy with children, but there should be, Krishna should be in the center. So spiritual growth and progress should be there. There is a spiritual equity and material differences. Spiritual things, they remain the same, but there is a material differences according to time, place, circumstances, country or where we are, or their customs may be different, but Krishna should be in the center of all the differences. So material difference could be there, but spiritually everybody is equal. There should be positive and realistic vision. Not that we feel, oh, I am a grahastha, falling in the deep well, how I can progress. The sannyasis or brahmacharis are better. No, everybody is equal as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned. There could be even some grahasthas could be more advanced than even sannyasis if they follow properly. So there should be positive attitude for the life. And mutual respect and appreciation for the, both the spouses should be there. There should be commitment and dedication to each other. And open and honest communication should be there. And there is a personal and social responsibility. A grahastha has social responsibility also. And there should be, one should not feel that I cannot earn, or yes, the earning has to be there, but anything extra should be used not for sense gratification, but for Krishna service. Building temple, printing books, or whatever, helping temples, or whichever way, or certain duties. So, and children's welfare, like one kind of doi. Children's welfare should be seen, or we should be focused. There should be a genuine love and affection amongst each other, and regulated, balanced and exemplary lifestyle, so others can learn from that. So these are the 12 principles of Grahastha life. And I told about Nam, this Vaishnava Aparadha, that also should not be done. And what is that Aparadha? We talked about that.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Very, very helpful.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Anybody else have any questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Koti Dandavat Pranam, all wish to Prabhupada and Gurudev. Prabhuji, wonderful class, it's useful to day-to-day life, and for Grahastha it's very wonderful. And last you mentioned that Guru Krishna and Shastra, we have to follow it. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. Feel that sitting in Gopinath Kamiti and Brahmachari is given a class. Hari Hari Bol, Swami Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji for such a nice principles. They are very useful, and please pray that we can remember in our grahastha life. So thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nicely. You have.
Hare Krishna, Mother Kamadhi. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. You are an ideal grahastha. So people can, very exemplary, so people take instruction from just seeing your lifestyle.
Bless us. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I have one question.
Sure.
Like, it says in the verse, like, Daksha was appointed as the chief of all Prajapati. So,
right.
Prabhuji, what is the job of Prajapati?
Prajapati, they have to see, give instruction like they are the king of all the Prajapati, like Kashyap Prajapati, and there were Brahmaji himself is a Prajapati also. So there were, so along with the Daksha, there were many Prajapatis who produced children in the beginning time. And then they are Pati. Pati means they are the master or the owner of the all the different Prajapatis. So he was appointed as king of all the Prajapatis or all the people who were there at that time. Like Swayambhu Manu is also a Prajapati, or King Uttanapada, and they were all in the beginning, they were all Prajapatis because they were filling up the universe which was empty, and now they have to fill up. This is the beginning of the new era, or after the Brahmaji's life, then new Brahma, and the Brahma gets instruction to create, and the souls which has entered into the body of Mahavishnu. Now they have desires, they have subtle bodies is still there, so they have to be brought back again in their respective roles as they left before the life of Brahma. There is a devastation, pralaya. There are four different kinds of pralaya are there. So after the pralaya, the complete pralaya, that is the Brahma's life is ended. Then there is a big fire and so much rain and whole devastation of all the universes. There is only one universe together. Just as the Mahavishnu breathes in, then one by after another universes, they are inhaled into the body of Mahavishnu. And then he lies down in Yog Nidra. And after that he exhales again. In that exhalation he exhales universes. The one that is exhaled first becomes the biggest universe, and then just like we could see the bubbles, the bubble that goes too far becomes a more bigger, too far from the children they blow the soap bubbles. Same thing these universes are, but the material ingredient are there. Ingredient is given by Krishna. I mean, ingredients also don't get destroyed. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, and the sukshma tattva, mind, intelligence, they are already there. But Brahma is a secondary creator. He puts them together according to their karma in the previous life, and then they give them the bodies according to what he learns or instruction he gets from Lord Krishna. So that way the new creation starts. So they were all Prajapatis, and it's not just for the material. This is our earth planet. Those Prajapatis are for all the planets. Higher planets like Brahma Lok, he is also a kind of Prajapati, and different rishis, somebody was a rishi in the past life. So he comes to the higher planet from the very beginning. It's not that everybody is born in the earthly planet. They are born in all the planetary system. And everything is created by the Supreme Lord. And Brahma was assisting him. He could create himself also. And all these 8.4 million species were created in different universes. May not be in one universe, but in different universes. That remains fixed, because that is the amount of desires one may have, and to fulfill the desires, we get a different body. And evolution means that gradually from insects, we come to the human form of life by the mercy of the Lord. But we may use that opportunity to get out of this material entanglement only in human form of life. Or we may degrade also from the human form of life. Depends on our consciousness. If we are conscious, Krishna conscious, then we take a higher birth gradually, purify and go back until we become completely pure and go to Krishna's abode. And if we don't take to this principle and we degrade in human form, human life is very, very important, very valuable. It's not easily obtained only by mercy of Krishna, but not by our own endeavor. We cannot get a human body. So human body is meant to do the austerity to please Krishna, to develop Krishna consciousness. It's not meant for sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment is there in other, so many other lives. So we could utilize, but again taking the same thing in human life is a big, big loss. Means you cannot make that human life again by so many efforts, only by Krishna consciousness. So if we are Krishna conscious, we get a human body and continue where we left until we become perfect in Krishna consciousness and become eligible to go to Krishna's abode. So it's a nice question. But Prajapati, yes, he made the Prajapati, king of all the Prajapatis. But one can misuse the position like Vain and Naush. Naush was became the Indra. When Indra was cursed, then he became a pig, and then Naush was made the king of the heaven. But then he wanted to enjoy Sachi, the wife of Lord Indra. So that is, then he became, fell down and became a big python. Narak also became a Girgit. So there are different ways that he did some. King Narak was a big charity giver. He gave cows, but one cow got mixed up by a little thing, one can just fall down. So one has to be very, very careful.
Yes.
How to utilize this human life, okay?
Yeah, means we think like we can become human in the next life also, but it's we cannot tell what's going on. Because Nriga was such a good king, and he took care of everybody so nicely, but with a small mistake, you know, it was not really his mistake, but it happened. But because of that, he has to become
a lizard, right? So best thing is to become. He was giving a charity. But one should, yes, charity should be there, but he, I don't know whether why he had to get it, what he did in the last life. Giving charity is good, but becoming Krishna conscious and practicing, that is a very safe way. Svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mato bayat. That he could be free from, because then he takes a human birth. But he was such a charity giver, but he became a lizard.
Yeah.
So the best thing is to become Krishna conscious, means serve Krishna, remember Krishna, chant his holy names, give Krishna consciousness to others, eat only Krishna prasad. So those are associated with devotees, serve devotees. So these are more important function. Charity is nothing neglected, but charity not for name's sake, he became very famous, but charity for Krishna is the best.
Yes.
So Narak's name is not there as a pure devotee or very advanced devotee, although he did so much, but his name is not as a very pure devotee. He is a devotee in one sense, because he was giving charity, but just giving charity without Krishna, putting Krishna in the center of all our activity is more important.
Okay. Prabhuji, can I ask one more question?
Sure. Yeah, any number of questions, that's fine.
That day you were talking about prachetas. So, what is the job of prachetas? What they do?
See, prachetas are not progenitors. Prachetas are not there. Prachin Barisat, King Prachin Barisat had 10 sons who were prachetas. And so, you will see in this 4th canto, it will come later on, and you will read that they were instructed by Lord Shiva that how to chant the holy name. And so there is a Lord Shiva is giving the instruction, that is Shiva Gita. So he gave, like Uddhava Gita is there, and this Shiva Gita. So what to do in life. Like they were asked that you go and do some perform some austerities in Ganges or Yamuna, I don't remember. But his father asked them. So they went there, but Lord Shiva came and he gave them the instruction and so of becoming Krishna conscious. So those are important instructions. So Pracheta are not Prajapatis.
Okay.
So don't get confused. Kin Prachin Barisat are, they are not Prajapatis. They came later on. And Bhagavatam describes about what they learned from Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva sees the opportunity, he gives the boons to demons easily, but then if somebody approaches to him as a topmost Vaishnava and learns from them, then he is Jagat Guru also. He could preach and give Krishna consciousness. He himself shows it by his example. He meditates on Lord Sankarshan for thousands of years. Okay, so should we end, or if there is any other question?
Krishna Prabhu, Dhanva Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very, very wonderful class, especially this 12 principles you gave for a Grihastha. Prabhuji, I have a small question, Prabhu. Prabhuji, for especially children, when we read Bhagavatam, if the children is there, they don't say anything, should we read with them Bhagavatam or not, Prabhu? I don't know, it's too much for them, but if they are ready to read with us, what should we do for Prabhu with them?
So it has to be read in a way, like in a dramatic way, or sometimes like there in ISKCON there are many stories are narrated in a like a cartoon way with the cartoons, aid of the cartoons, or there are books for children. But if you give too much philosophy, they cannot absorb all that in their tiny childlike brains. So we should give them with those books which are so nicely ISKCON has brought up children's books, whether it is coloring book or it is a story book. So we cannot go in depth with those kind of stories in the beginning. But just like, very like there was Lord Ramchandra or Prahlad or Dhruv Maharaj or how Krishna and little leelas in a dramatic way, if you could narrate them, they will listen. Everybody enjoys the stories. But it should not be too much philosophically in the beginning. It should be just their life. If you give it, then they will take it. And in the internet also, you could get Krishna conscious a story for children from ISKCON.
So one which is we can read to them little philosophy problems like Bhagavad Gita. If they are ready to listen, for which is we can start from that.
Yeah, if they are ready to listen, you could give according to their age, understanding, then they could definitely learn. Whatever they learn in the childhood, it remains with them throughout their life. Even in between at young age, they may divulge, but they will come back to Krishna consciousness if they are taught in the beginning. At a young life, like 5, 4, 5, 6, 8, 7, 8 years age. They absorb like a sponge absorbs the water. They will absorb all these things. And that remains seated.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else have any questions or comments for Prabhuji? Okay. Prabhuji,
thank you
so much.
Thanks, everyone. कल्पतरुभ्यः
पतितानां पावनेभ्यो